It's the G-rated version today.
I just spent $100 if you ask an explosion question.
You have an unusually large number of players. You've been in the league for 25 years. You've got a lot of players this year on your team with, like, minimal job security or coming up on a contract. Do you think that that contributed to the massive buy-in that you've gotten from all parts of your roster? This team seems to be very, very committed to winning first. And teams that win, their players are usually rewarded.
Yeah, you know, that's always it's always a fine line there when you do have as many players, you know, playing on like 1 year deals and of course I've sat in those seats before and as a player and everybody wants to play, obviously, and everybody wants to, you know, have the next contract or get the next contract. But you know, this is one of the things that's, you know, I'm proud with these guys is this unselfishness too, you know, that they've put all that kind of that stuff aside for now, and they just go play ball, and they love having fun doing it, and they understand too, and I try to, you know, as best I can, communicate to them and say, hey, listen, the better you play and the better we do as a team, then you'll get what's coming to you maybe at the end of the season, or if it's not here, it's rewarded somewhere else. So we just got to stay, you know, task at hand and continue to show what we've done in the last couple of weeks.
Doug, the history of running backs, LeGarrette's age, 30, 31, 32, is not a great one. What has he shown you as far as his level of play? What did you know about him coming in, and what surprised you about him?
Well, obviously, I didn't know him personally, you know, until he came, just what I've seen on film, and loved his style of running, obviously, and part of the reason why he's here. And then once you get to know him from the beginning of the season to now, there's been really great improvement with him. You know, you're seeing him explosive through the hole. You're seeing him pull away from runners. He feels fresh. He's, you know, he understands that it's a role. You know, it's a role player, and you know, probably limited touches, but it's the longevity of guys like that. Same way we do with the Jason Peters and the Brent Celek's and, you know, Malcolm Jenkins and guys like that who we can give some rest to in training camp and things like that. So he's done a great job. It seems like he's getting better each week too.
What day do you practice, President, during the week typically?
Friday.
Has that always been, I mean, I guess since going back to Green Bay, has that always been the practice schedule for you, and was that at other places as well?
Yeah, I can remember back when I was a player in Green Bay under Mike Holmgren, we actually did a little bit of red zone on a Thursday, and I actually do that now. I do just three plays, finish the day with three plays, you know, one offense versus one defense in the red zone now. You know, I script the situation and scenario, and you know, the coordinators just call it accordingly. But Friday is our main day.
Do you find that you spend more time in the red zone than other coaches that you've worked under?
Not really. You know, we keep, you know, there's three main aspects to a game plan. There's your first and second down plan, which is today. And then you have your third down plan, which is tomorrow. And then your red zone plan, you know, which is Friday. So, you know, we spend, and the way, you know, Frank Reich sort of assigns duties or responsibilities to that is with the assistant coaches. And, you know, Frank and myself do the base. Frank and myself and Mike Groh will spend time on third down. And then Frank and myself and DeFilippo will attack the red zone, you know, later on. So our guys are studying those areas during the week and have a really good plan. Not right now. He's still, you know, obviously still doing well with his rehab. You know, he's getting better there, and again, don't want to rush him back just yet.
If the Cowboys lose on Thursday night, you all have clinched the division. Is something you even care about at this point? Do you celebrate with the team in any way if you do clinch the division?
Yeah, obviously it's one of our goals, you know, to win the NFC East. But the bigger message is you'd love to. You're still playing and fighting for home field. You're fighting for that first round bye if possible. I mean, there's a lot of things that you're still playing for, even though you've checked the box for your first goal. It's great. Love it. But the Eagles have also won a bunch of NFC East titles here, too. So we're proud of it. You know, it's a tribute, obviously, to the players, but there's something bigger out there that, we strive for.
Doug, how have you found Jim Schwartz to be versus kind of his reputation coming in?
Wow. I mean, he's been wonderful to work with. You know, it's sort of that security blanket for me to kind of turn that defense over. And I just know his reputation of being a defensive coordinator in this league and the types of defenses he's had and, you know, top five, top three, you know, when he was even back in Tennessee, you know, in those days and had some great players and great defenses. And it's kind of been a special thing there too, you know, having him there and what he's done with the defense and just glad he's a part of what we're doing.
A couple months ago, you guys plugged in Wisniewski at left guard, and it seems like everything's been really smooth. How much of a luxury was that to have a veteran like that to be able to pop in that spot and not just be?
It's a comfort, you know. It's a obviously he's a veteran player. He's played a lot of games, obviously, in this league, and you know, to for him and you know, Isaac earlier in the year and Chance a little bit. And now, you know, Stephon's kind of settled into that spot. He's playing well, and it just solidifies your offensive line.
So how's it going against a coach who, you know, you saw it firsthand last year, not afraid of the trick play? How does that change or make more difficult game planning against him?
Well, it's just your awareness. You know, going into it, you understand that he can pull that at any time, you know, and on a special teams play, and even offensively and defensively, and really offensively too, you'll see a trick play. They hit one against us last year, you know, obviously, and you know, so we've got to be ready. Our antenna has to be up, and just going in knowing and showing our players these plays and having them prepared, and they have to buy into the plan and obviously ownership in their job, you know, this week.
Doug, one more on LeGarrette. We've talked a lot about the unselfishness in the running back room. How much of that do you think LeGarrette sets the tone for, that being the one kind of veteran guy in that group?
Yeah, I think it's everything. Obviously, you know, Deuce kind of rallies the guys and kind of sets the tone, but LeGarrette's the guy that, you know, starts the game for us, and you know, he does set the tone, and it's the way he's been practicing these last few weeks, and you know, and then it funnels down to Jay, and you know, it's a new role for Jay too. You know, he's not the guy, you know, so to speak, but he's fit in well, and then Corey and Kenyon and Wendell. So all the guys have really bought into that and contribute tremendously to the plan and to the win on Sunday. Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, I think it starts at the top. I mean, you know, you see what they've done, how they've built their roster, obviously, and it's something that every team strives to do, and that's why, you know, Howie and Joe Douglas and the guys are constantly looking, and we're trying to add talent and acquire talent, through whether it be free agency or the draft, and, you know, one of the things that they've had success in is through free agency, you know, and guys that are undrafted, and not saying that's the right fit for everybody, but at the same time, they've been able to make that work. And I think, too, the coaching staff, you know, there's not a ton of turnover there. You might get a coordinator that leaves here and there, but, you know, Daryl Bevel on offense, who actually was one of my coaches in Green Bay, has been there now for several years. So that continuity. And then, of course, they went out and drafted a quarterback and then, you know, acquired the talent around him. So, and then... You know, you're seeing the same thing over time. You're seeing the same thing with the defense and some of the things in the players they've drafted and brought in, and just keep teaching and keep coaching and keeping those guys together has really made that team, that organization. There's no surprise the success that they've had.
On that note, a couple of your veteran players, Malcolm and LeGarrette, said, you know, it's not going to cut it. Fumble four times, have 11 penalties against some of these better teams, and that's going to be a point of emphasis this week. What's the message from you and the coaching staff on that issue?
That's exactly right. you know, I wanted to make sure that they understood not only the positive that came out of this past game and these past few weeks, but at the same time, as we go down the stretch and we get into these playoff-type atmosphere football games, particularly this week, that on the road, that we have to take care of the football. You can't fumble it four times and give it up three, and you know, penalties. You know, penalties at this stadium are gonna hurt you. It hurt us last year. You can't do it. So it's definitely an awareness. I don't want to beat them over the head with it, but at the same time, I have to address it and make sure that they're aware of what they're getting into, and it's unacceptable to play that way.
What makes Hawks have lost a couple of home games recently? What do you warn them about not getting caught up in the fact that the Seahawks are vulnerable there, and that there is a long-term mystique about playing in that stadium?
Yeah, it's still a good defense. When I say defense, you know, they've lost some key players over there, and still an aggressive front. Linebackers, I think, are. This is, again, you know, I thought Carolina's backers were extremely good. These guys are extremely good. And it's a great set of challenges for our offense. And then, you know, everything runs through their quarterback. And he makes it go. And they feed off of that. His energy and how well he plays and some of the plays that he makes, they feed off of that. And, you know, this is obviously you got the crowd noise. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere, and again, it's going to be a playoff type atmosphere. So, our guys have to have a good week of practice and prepare, you know, for that. For
what
that
about Seattle's quarterback on defense? What is it about Earl Thomas that makes him one of the best safeties in the NFL?
I tell you, this guy he studies the opponent. I mean, he studies it. You see it on film. He's flying around. He anticipates. He's back there, just kind of knowing. He knows route combinations. He's. You know, he's at the line of scrimmage a lot, making tackles for losses, and you really have to be aware of where he's at and where he lines up, and Carson has to do a great job with his eyes this week, but that guy's, you know, he's taken over that leadership role, you know, with Richard out and Cam out. I mean, these guys are they're feeding off of him now.
So what kind of structure do you have in place to ensure that the 9-day West Coast trip, the guys stay on point, locked in?
You know, message is still the same. We just got to focus on 1 week, one game at a time. We'll take care of next week. And, I've addressed, you know, with the team that we're staying out there and all that kind of stuff. But it's my job to make sure that they stay focused on Seattle. And we got to take care of business, against a good football team. And, keep it simple that way.
As a quick follow-up on the secondary, how's game planning different for Seattle than past years?
Yeah, you know, it's they're structurally they're still the same. You know, it's the same defense, same scheme. Obviously, it's a great loss to have those two players not there. They're tremendous leaders, obviously, on that football team and on that defense. And you know, obviously, people, other teams. You know, Richard Sherman is one of the top corners in this league and tend to go the other way, you know, away from him. But you still game plan the same, you know, and you still try to put our players in positions to be successful. And, it just comes down to execution and we've got to handle that this week.
Okay.
Thank you guys. Thank you.